News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. 2:36 PM right now, phone lines lit up, so I got a couple of callers hanging on the line. I see line four is ready, Copper, so if you would, let me go ahead and grab line four, Robert from Athens. Hey, Robert, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
I'm okay. I wanted to talk about another mass killing that happened last October in Norway. Norway does not have a Second Amendment, and guns are virtually unheard of outside of the military. A guy by the name of Brather started out with a bow and arrow, wounded a bunch of people, switched to a homemade spear, and killed five before the police could intervene and arrest him. My point is this, is crazy people walk this earth, and the only solution is to defend yourself. If they ban guns, they'll have to ban bow and arrows, they'll have to ban swords, they'll have to ban spears, they'll have to ban knives, they'll have to ban rocks, they'll have to ban sticks.
Well, and we got the guy up in Waukesha, Wisconsin, that drove his car through a parade and killed a dozen people, and they haven't banned cars. So
where's our car control laws?
Yeah, your point is well taken, Robert. The reality is, too, if we wind up going down the road of gun control laws, I guarantee you the criminal in this Uvalde, Texas shooting would have not even obeyed those gun laws anyway. So what would the point have been? Robert, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being in the audience. And let me go to line five real quick. Carl from Decatur. Hey, Carl, Phil Williams, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Good show. Good show.
Thanks, sir.
I wanted to address some solutions to this problem of these people entering these schools and venues. I heard one guy, I can't remember his name, he was on Dan's show, but he talked about door stops. Every class should have a door stop, but prior to that, they should have a camera system that has an alarm that goes off when, in the entrance. And those two things, and pepper spray in each classroom, you know, like even bear spray. I think those things would go a long way in protecting the classes with, you know, a little bit of offensive and, things that could go. But I think those things there would help a lot. So I just wanted to suggest those and what I had heard.
No, it's good stuff, Carl, and I appreciate that.
Some solutions.
That's good stuff, and that bear spray you're talking about will spray for like 20 feet. It's not like you have to be right next to the person to put it in their face. And then hardening the front entrance and making a single point of entry is usually a good idea, too. A lot of these things are actually being done, but we do have some older school infrastructure that you have to bring it up to date to make that happen. But, hey, Carl, thanks for the call, man. Good input. Appreciate it. And then, Copper, what are you writing up there at the top about what?
Oh, that we wouldn't just have to ban all those other things, cars and sticks and spears and Molotov cocktails. The Ukrainians are making so many Molotov cocktails to throw at Russians. I mean, so no alcohol either.
It boggles the mind what all you would have to, if you want to look at the things that people use to hurt other people, you're going to have to pretty much take stock of everything to include fists.
Frying pans.
Exactly. I mean, it's just... You go down that road, there's an endless stream of things you then have to change and or ban or restrict or, you know, anyway. All said and done, there's things you can do. There's certainly things you can do without curtailing liberties. And that's a conversation, a whole conversation I want to get into on another day. Let me tell you, I was telling you before the break. I was so impressed some years ago with a small town in rural Alabama called Altoona. I love the town of Altoona. It became one of my favorite places when I was a state senator. Doing some legal work for them later, I was so impressed because this small town literally decided they have a small county elementary school outside of their jurisdiction. The town of Altoona, last time I checked, had a population of like 900. I mean, the town itself, there are neighborhoods in Huntsville bigger than the whole town. But they've got a commitment among their leadership to do things that help the community, and they looked at the situation with the fact that they are on the fringes of the county where they lived, And there was going to be a hard time in an emergency for first responders to get to that little elementary school. So the town of Altoona looked at it also, though, when they realized that the elementary school was just outside of their police jurisdiction, and it was way, way on the outskirts of the sheriff's office. So what did they do? They called, and we as a law firm began putting together for them what it took for them to annex land. No, they didn't go and like do eminent domain. They weren't going to do that. They went to any landowners in a contiguous fashion between the city limits and the school, and they said, would you be willing? Said, we will put an SRO in that school if we can get to that school as part of our jurisdiction. Would you be willing to let us have a strip of road frontage? Would you be allow us to have a little sliver along your fence line on the back pasture? And we literally annexed a trail, but from the city limits to the school, and they paid to have a school resource officer put in that school. And it was out there in the country, and unlike a lot of communities, they did what it took. They were going to make sure that their little kids were taken care of. And I just thought, that is just, that right there is exactly what's supposed to be happening. That's the kind of creativity and desire to do something right without curtailing liberties that communities can do. And don't think it can't. If the little town of Altoona can pull their resources together and do what it takes to have all the paperwork done and the agreements that had to be filed with these landowners and everything else to be able to annex by consent is what it was called, an annexation by consent. And literally, if you look at the town of Altoona and look at their city limits, there's just this little trail of city-owned property now that makes its way to this little elementary school in the country. And they've got an SRO there. Now listen, WSFA.com. I think WSFA, if I'm not mistaken, is out of Montgomery. Yeah, Montgomery. WSFA, this has a headline here dated yesterday. Alabama school safety plans in focus following the Texas mass shooting. Well, that's true. And they talk about the fact that after this deadly shooting we just had in Uvalde, Texas, that people want to know, okay, what do we have in Alabama? What is the deal? What are we doing for our kids here as a state, not necessarily the small communities, but as a state? And it said the state leaders want to reassure families that student mental health continues to be a top priority. And there are other things like school safety task forces that have plans in place. So the focus of this article was two part. One was on student mental health and the fact that the Alabama Department of Mental Health created a school board mental health collaboration that in part, it says, provides at-risk kids with in-school therapy. And millions of dollars were put into it as a part of the legislative budget appropriations. But then you have my friend, State Representative Terry Collins, who's been on the show a couple of times. She has been the chair of a school safety committee, and she says you can't ever stop a situation, a violent situation like that, but you can be prepared for it. She went on to say that the committee she chaired since 2017 has created what's called an Emergency Task Force on School Safety and Security. And then 2018, I don't know why she did this, but Governor Ivey formed another task force to look at it as well. And they've put a number of things in place, like the fact that each school system in the state now has a safety coordinator, and they have mandatory drills that are required. So, yeah, talking about that, article on 1819 News Today, written by Craig Monger. Craig's a good dude. He's got some good writing. But Craig wrote this piece even in more detail. I mean, like in my printing my resources, this one came out to a 3-page article, 2.5 really. But, and he points out, he says, parents are rightfully concerned. He said, but the Alabama Association of School Resource Officers, he contacted them, a lady by the name of Pamela Reeves, who's the president of the Alabama Association of School Resource Officers. She's also the second vice president of the National Association of School Resource Officers. She went on to talk about the fact that SROs, and I'm going to start calling them that, SROs in Alabama, she said, in the schools, building relationships, building rapport with our young people so they'll give us information to help us keep our schools safe. It goes way beyond law enforcement, she says. And she mentions the fact that SROs are peace officers in good standing with a law enforcement agency in the area. In other words, they're not just like mall security guards. They're literally APOST certified, which is the Alabama Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission. So APOST, if you are APOST certified, you have gone through a great deal of training and certification to achieve that certification. And these SROs have to be APOST certified. And they have to be affiliated with a local law enforcement agency, like your county sheriff's office, a local police force. Anyway, all that to say, she goes on to talk about the fact that, like, for instance, she's from Lee County. She said Lee County Sheriff's Office, they didn't want to comment on Texas delays. But here's her comment. She said, when it comes to Alabama, Reeves said, I'm very lucky. She said, over the years, I've talked to many SROs, visited many school districts, and they are of the same mindset. If that day comes, they are ready to respond. And she said, in my world of law enforcement officers in Alabama, she said, I would say in great confidence that if something like that were to happen, we would respond in the most rapid way we could. We're going in. We're going to save lives. And that's, you know, that's where it's at. So number one, I think one of the best things that could happen is for those school systems that have not made the commitment to an SRO, it's time to start finding the wherewithal. And perhaps some of these budget excesses that keeps getting spent on big government in Montgomery that we're seeing down there right now, maybe some of those could be sliced off and actually appropriated to upfund the SRO programs around the state. Also, by the way, it points out that Alabama has a very stringent drill schedule. In other words, you have to conduct specialized emergency action plan drills in the school during the first 6 weeks of every year and then refresh that plan on a regular basis. More stuff like that I'll tell you about when we get back, because I was in the legislature when we passed some of this. Let's go ahead and take a break, Copper. When we get back from this, though, we're going to keep working through this. I want you guys to know that in Alabama, we do take safe schools seriously. Bad people are out there wanting to do bad things. It does not mean we can't be ready. And I agree with Terry Collins. We may not be able to stop everything that happens, but we can get prepared. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, yeah, we're talking about school safety right now, and I'm trying to make sure that I give you guys a perspective on what's in place for Alabama itself. What do we have? Like, for instance, I've got a story right here. This one also came off WSFA. State School Superintendent Ed Mackey addressing the issue. He talks about the fact that they do have this task force. Task forces mean nothing unless you have results, by the way. But, you know, they've done some things. And he points out that as new schools are constructed, we made a lot of improvements. Where'd I go? A lot of improvements to the entrances of schools, including cameras, including safety locks. He said most schools now have two doorways. You have to get in through one to get into a lobby and then get through a second secure doorway. He says cameras are very beneficial. They've helped us to stop some issues, not like we had in Texas, he quickly said. But we've been able to catch some safety issues through the use of cameras. We've had a lot of fencing added to our campuses, so different security protocols like that. And then the placement of school resource officers. He said we've had many, many local school districts that have worked with sheriff's offices and police departments to add their SROs. So, yeah, there's a lot going on right there. Now, here's the thing. It's actually in the state code, all right? It's not just like task force. Oh, they've got a task force. Because, you know, sometimes in Montgomery, I'll be honest with you, task force is code for we don't want to do it right now, so put it in a task force. Well, there actually is law. So Title 16, Chapter 1, Section 44. So it's 16-144 of the Alabama Code. It's titled School Safety Plans. This was updated in 2013 when I was in the legislature, and I told you earlier we were working on that topic. It goes into a number of things. It gives certain directions to local school boards. And by the way, some of this was fussed about. Are you creating an unfunded mandate? You know what? Figure it out. I'm not for unfunded mandates, but all we're saying is have a plan, all right? But some of these plans do require them to do some things. All right, number one, the local school board shall, quote, include a plan for a protocol for addressing serious threats to the safety of school property, students and employees and administrators, a protocol for responding to emergency events, a notification of appropriate law enforcement and emergency response personnel. They shall update the plan whenever modifications to the building occurs. Okay, these are happening. Too easy. No cost. Just do it. Have a plan. And now, of course, we also know that the school boards all have their own safety coordinator who can help guide the development of the plan. All right, here's another thing. And I remember this distinctly because it did not include private schools, and I thought that it should. Upon request of law enforcement or safety officials or both, the local board shall provide a copy of the current school site and safety plan, which shall be kept in a secure place and not considered public record. What that means is this. In the event of a need for dynamic entry or a hostage situation, the responders need to be able to assess quickly the layout of the school. And if they're not familiar with it, having these schematics, these school site and safety plans on record so they can get to it and review it as they go in is invaluable. Where are the classrooms? Are there large storage closets? What's behind that door over there? Well, if you have the schematics, you know. So that's a big part of it. We mandated these plans had to be kept in, you know, a certain place and available to law enforcement. You also have to have certain things like the doors and exits of each school may be locked from the outside, but shall allow for immediate egress by those inside the building. In other words, locked from the outside, but you can quickly get out without a key. And then the last thing is there have to be drills. And these drills, see, this is a no-cost plan. The only cost to the local board is making sure they have a staff person who's designated the duty of being the coordinator for all these plans. Anyway, all that to say, this was good. Now, again, coming back in 2013, my friend Dick Brubaker, former state senator down in Montgomery. Dick's a good guy, very active in issues related to schools. Anyway, we passed a bill in 2013 that also allows for local school systems to use their own money to hire their own armed officers as long as they have police training or they have hired officers through their local law. In other words, we expanded the SRO capability. What we said there was this. If you have a means to do it, your education budget dollars at the local level can be allowed to be used towards SROs being funded. In other words, if your sheriff's department says, look, I'll give them the training, I'll give them the equipment, but I don't have the salary right now to put another person out there on the street. Well, then you can look at it and say, well, what's it cost? You know, to have a deputy in your school, we're probably looking at you paying a salary with benefits of somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 a year. Okay, the school system finds $50,000. The deputy gets hired by the sheriff's office and placed permanently in that school. So what they just did there was they allowed for the education budget dollars of the local school systems by virtue of Dick Brubaker's bill to be spent on things like SROs. So don't think they can't do it. They can. As long as they have the funding or the wherewithal, they'll get it done. All right, lots of this stuff's happening. This is Alabama, y'all. This is how we're handling things. But coming up next, I've got Casey Wardinski coming on. He was a school superintendent. Let's hear what he has to say, what his recollections are about instituting safety protocols in school systems and get his perspective on things as they are today. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We're right back.